Amen. I believe it. Do y'all believe it? Make a way right on time. God knows every care, every trouble, every problem in this church today, and God can handle it. We serve a God that's unlimited. You know, it's just nothing's out of His reach or His power. And sometimes we wonder about His timing, but His time's always right, and He can make a way. Good to see everybody come this way this morning. I want to share a few verses of Scripture with you. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here this morning, y'all. I mean, you know, for a group down yonder and a group up here, we've got a good number this morning. I figured rain might, of course, we've got used to rain. You know, that's just, oh, by the way, one of them things anymore. We just go about our business, you know. After 10 or 12, 15 days of it, we just get after it, you know. I want to look to the Word of God this morning, Genesis chapter 12. We're going to talk a little bit about Abram, just a little bit. And mainly, we're going to talk about faith, trust, and hope. Faith, trust, and hope. I believe these three bring obedience. You know, I've searched the Scriptures, and I've read most of all these things, the words of God, and I want you to know that I've come to a conclusion that faith, trust, and hope does bring obedience. You know, it does something. It changes something. And so I want us to look today at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. It said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now, this is the Word of God speaking to Abram, you know. And I think a lot about this, and we're going to find down in verse 4, and it said, "So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." And so the Word of God comes and says, get out. You know, He said, I want you somewhere else. Now, I want you to consider this. God knew the situation that Abram was in. And you might read back through the Scripture and find, well, he's doing pretty good. He's getting by. But God wanted him to do better than just getting by. God wanted him to do better than just pretty good. And He said, so he's not going to accomplish in that land he's in. So I'm going to give him a better land. I'm going to give him a better place that he can flourish and that he can survive and do well. And so God's plan for Abram was, He said, get up and get out. He said, I want you to go to a place, and Abram never saw it, and he had to take God at His word, and that's where the faith comes in God. I'm telling you, Abram had faith in God. He had trust in God. He had hope in God, and through that he became obedient to God. God said, get up and get out. Abraham got out. Now, this faith that I'm talking about, and you know, I think about this a lot. Would I have the faith if God said, I want you to go here? I've got something better for you. Now, understand, this Word of God didn't come without a promise. You know, God said, if you do this, I promise I'll do this. And so there comes a promise of God. But it took the obedience of Abraham, or Abram, it took the obedience of Abram to receive this promise and these blessings of God. Great faith, a great trust, and a great hope, and it brought obedience. Now, that's what these three, I believe, brings in the life of God's children today. It brings these things, and it brings us to a place of obedience. When you start thinking about faith, you know, in Romans 10 and 17, it said, it's very plain. It said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Abram heard the Word of God. Abram heard what God said to him, and by that, he had faith. Now, we have this privilege today that we've got this printed Word of God. Most of us holding one right now, and if not, it's laying there in front of you. But there's an opportunity that we could increase faith. We might even come to the point where Abram is at, ready for something new in life. Ready for a better place. God knew the better place. He said, I'm going to give you more than you ever expected. You know, He's talking to Abram, and He said He's going to make a great nation out of him. He didn't even have any kids. His wife was barren. They were childless at this time. They didn't have it, but he trusted and believed God. You know, God said, I promised to make Abram's seed as the dust of the earth and the stars of the heaven. Amen. Now you think about the promise that Abram received because he was obedient to what God asked him to do. Now, we're going to talk about what God asked us to do. Yeah, this God hadn't changed. This God hadn't changed. That brings me to thoughts, you know, over New Testament. It talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. These three agree in one. Amen. Now, you might think, well, who's speaking to us today? The Holy Ghost. The power of God. These three agree in one. And I believe He's still calling people to step up and step out today. There's a room for improvement in our lives, most every one of us. If you're perfect, praise God, you dismissed. You won't have to stay for the rest of it. You can say, well, I don't need that. Didn't see nobody burning the aisle way up. You know, and so when we start talking about that and we're talking about Abram and his trust in God, you're going to find it also God changes Abram's name. He said, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. And I got thinking about this power of God that not only can change his position in life and his place where he lived, he had changed his name. And so he changed his name to Abraham. And that's in Genesis 17 and verse 5. I believe you can find that. God wanted him to have a new name. He has given him a new life. We start thinking about, all the things and the promises of God that we have today. Let's move forward to Jesus just a little bit. We'll talk about Jesus. We'll talk about the Holy Ghost, okay? That's what we got present with us today in this grace time of God. We're blessed to be in God's grace. Jesus changes things too. Now, God changed Abraham's address, praise the Lord, for his benefit. He changed his name. He blessed him with innumerable children. What did he say? As many as the dust of the earth and the stars of the heaven. He said, if you can number them, you'll know how many you're going to have. And so we talk about the change that came in Abram's life and change in his name. And then I got thinking about, well, we've still got this call of God. You know, Jesus went through all the disciples and apostles, and what was his word to them? Follow me. That's what he told every one of them. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll change your address. I'll change your situation in life that you're facing. Let's go over New Testament just for a few minutes, if we will. Now, you think about Abram's faith. You talk about Abraham's love and trust and hope in God. It brought obedience. God still calls on us for obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn over with me if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at this just for a minute. Now he changed Abram's name to Abraham. That was a change of God. He changed his address. He blessed him in so many ways Abraham couldn't even count. Why? Because God, Abraham had faith, Abraham had trust, Abraham had hope, and through that he became obedient. Obedience matters to God this day and time. Jesus is still calling people into obedience. And I thought about all the changes he made in Abraham's life, and I got thinking about our opportunities today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Y'all getting this? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so we start talking about the opportunity we have for change in our life, an opportunity that God's blessing us with in this age of grace that we can change the way we used to think and change the way things we used to do. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. These people that tell me I've got Jesus and didn't change, I've got doubts. Praise the Lord. Now, that's me. You may not, but, you know, when they tell me, oh, I've got saved. Oh, I've got Jesus. Nothing in their life changes. Something's the matter, isn't it? That's contrary to what the Word of God said. It said a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And so Jesus has changed something in their life. Thank God for the change. Thank God for the change. Now, look over about a page before that. And I want to get to thinking about this calling of Jesus. Okay, a new person, a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. Then I get thinking about obedience. What did God call us to do? Be ambassadors? Yeah. To spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yeah. To take care of the widows and orphans? Yeah. All these things. To be an encourager? Yeah. To support? Yeah. All these things Jesus asks us to do. Now, when we start talking about these things that we have an opportunity to do, what a day we have to do the work of God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive in his body the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." Now, I've just read to you a verse of Scripture, a promise of God, that nobody's going to miss this. Praise the Lord. What does it say? "For we must all appear." Not just a few or not just select. All are going to appear. Now, when I read on down, and it said that we may receive for the things done in his body, whether that has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I want to tell you about the bad. The Scripture of God said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So everybody here has the bad. Praise the Lord. Now, you may have forgiveness for it. I'm not getting there. But at one time, we got enough bad that, you know, we could be, when we come before this judgment, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I got thinking about it as a pastor. I think my responsibility would be to let you have some good also. Amen. That when you stand before this judgment seat, he'll say, "Well, this was bad and this was bad. But look at this list of good things." How do you get good things in this life? You work for God. You do the work of God. And what is that? To visit the widows, visit the sick, take care of the orphan, pray. Praise the Almighty God. Believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So many things you can add to this good. Now, we're going to give an account whether it be good or bad. And so a lot of people are taken back by this and say, "Well, I dread that day." I don't dread that day. He's going to stand down there and he'll say, "Well, Jim, you got a little bit of fault here, but you also got some good to go with it. And I want to have y'all an opportunity to do good." Amen. To do some good that we be presented. Now, talking about works just for a few minutes. In James chapter 2 and verse 17, it said, "Even so faith, if it had not works, is dead." Y'all got that one? Faith without works is dead. Now, a lot of you are kind of panicking and say, "Well, is dead faith going to get me to heaven?" Dead faith will get you to heaven, but it won't get you any kind of reward. And this is the Word of God. It said that faith without works is dead, being alone. And so we need a mixture of faith. We need a mixture of that and works that we've done for God. If we took a poll here this morning, how many of y'all could say, "Well, yeah, I did something for God." You did today. You showed up. Praise the Lord. I don't know about yesterday and the rest of the week. We start thinking about that. And then verse James chapter 2 and verse 18. It said, "Yea, a man may say," now look at this, "yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without work, and I will show thee my faith by my work." And so if somebody's going to see our faith, if somebody's going to understand we have faith, guess how it's going to come? By the works we do for God. Now, I'm not talking about works we do for ourselves. I'm talking about the works you do for God, the kind that has the best payment plan in the world. You're going to receive the streets of gold and a heaven open. But when we start talking about getting busy and working, that's what God has called us to do. That's what Jesus has called us to do. That we have a testimony of the love and power of God. That we have a testimony about the power of Jesus Christ to save souls. That we encourage, we uplift, we strengthen the brethren. I thought about this faith a lot. It's kind of like the wind blowing. Can y'all see the wind? And I can't see your faith. Can you see my faith? No, it's like the wind. It's invisible. But we see evidence of it. We see the power of it. I can probably open that door and look out there and them flags are probably doing this. And whether it's a gentle breeze or whether it's a mighty rushing wind, it's all a demonstration that we could see the wind. We need people to be able to see our faith by our works. We need to be a working church. I'm telling you, time's coming down. It's growing close. I want to talk about children just a little bit. Children, a bunch of them went out here a minute ago. Children are a gift and a blessing and a joy of God. That's according to the Word of God. I'm telling you what He says children are. I'm in full 100% agreement. But I get to thinking about these children. We can't expect too much out of them, can we? A child, just a child. And we don't expect too much out of them. You know, we're not, we've got to supply their needs. We've got to figure out what they need to eat. We've got to figure out what they need to drink. We've got to clothe them. We've got to shelter them in a house in so many ways that a lot of us as adults have to take care of these children, right? And that's not a bad thing, but that's the way children are. And I got thinking about, what about one of these little children that went out? Let's get a little boy about this tall. Let's get your grandson, Eddie. He's about that tall now, maybe a little bit bigger. But we'll take him for an example. If he stayed over at your house in the morning, or tonight, in the morning, would you get him up and dress him, put a lunchbox in his hand, tell him to get out and work a job and help support the family? Wouldn't do no good if you did, would it? Y'all got that? You know, send him out and say, I want you to make a contribution to our family. I want you to make a contribution to helping us survive. Little bitty kid. Send him off out the door and say, you get out there and get your job done. Let's go to work. Does anybody think that's a possibility? Everybody say no. Will your boys go out and work, make you a living tomorrow, Liz? Not quite, will they? Will they change their own diaper? Not quite, will they? But, you know, we're being realistic about children, about children. There's not a lot of things they can do. There's not a lot of things they can change. You know, we know about children. If they're hungry, they cry. If they're mad, they cry. They, you know, have a problem. And I got thinking about the children of God. A man the other day told me, he said, I believe you're a good child of God. And I didn't catch it right then, but as I got on down the road, it kind of puffed me up. I thought, I'm not a child of God. I'm not helpless. I can support myself. I can do a lot of things for God. Things that we wouldn't consider sending a child to do. I was out on visitation. And he says, oh, you're a good child of God. I don't want to be a child of God. Children can't do nothing. Children can't even take care of themselves. Some adult has to provide everything they have. I want to be a man of God. I want you to be a woman of God. Now you get what I'm saying? It's a good thing. And I've used the same words. I've stood up here and said, oh, y'all are children of God. Well, partly that was right. Some of you still are. Well, I didn't get no amens on that one. Praise the Lord. Well, I can tell, you know, now if we consider this family situation, sending these little kids out to work, they're not going to do too good a job. Well, how the family is, so be the church. And if we're sending children out to do a man or a woman's job, we got a problem. So I'm going to tell you, we need to grow up some. We need to grow up and get about the work of God in this life. We need to listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that's encouraging us. Do something. Do something. Do something. God's the easiest boss you'll ever work for. I thought about it last night. He gives you a choice. The most place you'd go into work and the boss said, this is your job. This is what you do. Well, God will say, I'm your boss and you do what you want to do. As long as it's the work of God. Then I thought about the opportunity we have this day and time and the technology. Most everybody carries a phone on their side or in their pocket or pocketbook. All I'm going to tell you to do is take about 10 minutes and dial somebody you love or care for and say, are you having a good day? I'm praying for you.
That's a work of God. It's made it so simple for us to do. And a lot of you are still sitting there thinking about the children thing. Well, let's talk about children. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Turn over there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Let's talk about children. We know children. They can't do nothing. They're not going to support you. You're going to support them. And we start talking about what a child can do. It's time that we put away the child and become women and men of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Amen. And so now we have the Word of God. You know, we know where we've come from, what we used to be, but He's encouraging us to step up and be a woman, be a man, come in the fullness of God, come to a knowledge and understanding of His grace, that we might make a contribution to the family and to the church. No longer children. Time to grow up. Some of y'all thinking he's sitting there being judgmental. I can tell by the games you play where you're at. You know, children games. Some of y'all still playing hide and go seek with Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. He's coming, ready or not. Amen? He's coming, ready or not. So if you're playing hide-and-go-seek with Jesus, you might ought to change what you're doing and get something prepared. Get out. Go to work for God. Do something in His will, not your will. He's coming, ready or not. Now let me warn you about something. If you're anywhere except hid in the Word of God and covered by the blood of Jesus, you got a problem. He'll find you out. When you stand before this judgment, He'll know you already. And so all I'm trying to do is trying to get us some good things on our list. Get us an opportunity that, yeah, we go out and we do some of the work of God. And a lot of people say, well, God don't need any help. He does. He created us to help Him. That we worship and praise Him, that we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we tell about the love that God has for the world, a lost and dying world, let's put it that way. And so here's the things we need to do. We need to grow up. We need to quit playing hide and go seek with Jesus. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Folks, it's time for this church to step up. It's time for this church to grow up. Stop playing our little games with Jesus, hide and go seek. It's not going to work. I think about that all the time. Amen. We've got the greatest opportunity ever had before. You got things to dial up, make a conversation. You might even make a home visit. You can't ever tell. You might even witness somebody. You might even invite somebody to church. Oh, you know, let's don't get too hard in that. Let's don't get too serious. God's serious. These children are just that. They're children. I love them. I appreciate them. But I understand what they are. They're children. They're for you to take care of. Don't you be a child in this church for somebody else to take care of you. Plain enough? Chris, we're going to sing a verse of a song. Y'all, Glenda's, if y'all can come on up. I thought about this quite a bit. And I can't tell your lives and what goes on, but I'm suspicious sometimes. Sometimes I have a suspicion that there's going to be somebody leave this church today, walk through those doors, they're not going to do another work for God until they step back into the next meeting. I'm suspicious on that.